L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Let's talk to the pros. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is Friday. It is time to do a game-by-game preview of every game that we'll see this weekend. But first, as we always do on Friday, except last week when we had a little scheduling difficulty, let's welcome in our good friend, Dr. David Chow from ProFootballDoc.com. Find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. Doc, thanks for squeezing us in this morning. How you doing?
Oh, I'm happy to do it. And for the record, last week was my fault, not yours. I just traveling New York, blah, 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 blah.
No.
Rockettes, Rockefeller Center. I mean,
If you want to say that's better than podcasting with me, Doc, I guess, but whatever.
Someone said to me, like a restaurant, hostess, oh, you guys on vacation here? I go, yeah, with all the kids. I'm like, yeah, but it seems like work.
Yes, I'm quite familiar with that.
Injury analysis with Dr. David Chow.
Doc, before we get into anything for this weekend, can we just start a little bit with last night and what we saw from Dalvin Cook? I mean, just incredibly impressive from a guy we thought probably, at least from a fantasy standpoint, we didn't expect to suit up until, the day before that day. And then not only does he suit up, but he performs incredibly well. He carries a full workload. How impressed were you by what you saw from Dalvin Cook last night?
On the one hand, very impressed. On the other hand, a little bit mad about it. Look, I'm very impressed with what he did. Look, assuming he had no injury, you have to be impressed with what he did, right? So that's number one. He's Dalvin Cook, right? And that's great. But here's why I'm a little mad. Look, when he first dislocated his shoulder 11 days before, I was like, I don't really see the injury. I'm not sure what he had. It didn't look like a lot of force. I didn't know what to make of it. The day after, when it was reported that he dislocated his shoulder, I took it as face value and said, okay, I just don't always see everything on the video. It's just video. But based on a shoulder dislocation, and I knew he had a 2019 shoulder dislocation in the same side that I assumed he got fixed in the offseason. So based off of that, I said, he's not going to play this next week or this Thursday. But then when reports started coming, he was going to play, I thought, well, maybe it's going to be split carries. Where I erred, full admission, is that in 2019, now I figure out, he didn't have surgery for it. So why is that significant? That's significant because with this recent injury 11 days ago, he didn't tear anything new. So it makes the recovery actually a little bit easier. And if I would have known that piece, I would have been more optimistic about his return to play. Yeah. So if I cost anyone the fantasy playoffs, I'm sorry. But that's part of what we do here at Pro Football Doc. It's not magic. We don't treat every shoulder dislocation the same on the same person. And in this case, I should have known, why would his shoulder come out so easily on video? Oh, maybe it's still there from before. So, yeah. But thanks for bringing that up.
You're welcome. I
honestly
feel like
thank you for bringing it up. Gives me a chance to explain. And the other one is sarcastic. Thanks for bringing it up.
Ah, I see. Yes. Well, I'm sure if you cost any fantasy managers, you know, their wins this week, you'll hear about it most people who offer fantasy advice. All right, let's look forward though a little bit, not backwards. I actually want to start with Tony Pollard, if it's okay, Doc, because I was a little surprised with this one. He's apparently going to be a game time call. Haven't seen it yet from today, but I guess he tore his plantar fascia, and I feel like I hear that and you think, how is someone going to play with that? So just talk a little bit about that injury.
Yeah. So, and if anyone wants more in depth, YouTube, the Pro Football Doc channel, or on the Twitter timeline, we go into it a little bit on a solo video. Plantar fascia is like the arch of the foot, not the bony arch. If you sort of bring up your big toe, you feel like this cord-like structure on the near the arch of your foot, and it's really at the base, at the heel, where you get plantar fasciitis. It's the same injury that knocked Taysom Hill out for a number of weeks earlier this season. The good news in the long run is that tearing it, you're sort of fixing the problem because it's kind of too tight. The bad news is when you tear it, you're very sore. Now, he apparently tore it on that touchdown run, but still finished the game sort of, right? Zeke came in a little bit more. And then has been DNP. We don't have Fridays yet, but it has been DNP. This is not one that you can purely just go by practice sports. DNP, DNP, DNP. Okay, he's out. No. How is he going to play? With the magic needle injection. You can numb it up to play. Will he? I don't know. Will the Cowboys say, we think Zeke's healthy enough? Let's just sit Pollard and not put him through the injection. Will Pollard want to take the injection? It's his right to take it or not take it. Will the doctor feel comfortable? Different story. Or will they say, look, Zeke isn't necessarily 100%. We don't have the same cushion we had. This is a divisional foe. Washington, you know, Dr. Jerry may put his arm around Tony and say, come on, let's ride. We need you, right? And so I wouldn't rule him out yet. I fully expect him to have a questionable tag. I fully expect him to be DMP today and still be listed as questionable. And a lot of fantasy people will say, well, that means he's not playing. In this case, not 100%.
Okay, great information. We've talked about James Robinson before, Doc, but you know, after what happened last week where, you know, he fumbled and then was benched for a while, but was it the injury, was it not? I just want to talk about him from a health standpoint, obviously. Again, he's got the heel issue, and I believe you said, Doc, when we talked about him last, a couple of weeks ago, obviously, or whenever it was, that because it's the heel, that's not quite as bad for a running back because they're mostly on the balls of their feet. So just from a health standpoint last week, I mean, do you think he's going to be okay and be effective this week?
I think from a health standpoint, he'll be okay and effective. Of course, there's other issues, as you mentioned.
Right.
And look, we don't even talk when you bring me on, right? It's not planned or anything.
Correct.
But there's another YouTube video that I did talking about that. And it's about the dynamics and, you know, how unusual it is to be a head coach talking about, well, it was the running back coach. I don't know. And why'd you put him back in? All that stuff. You can go look at it. There's some smoke there, right? And now the quarterback came out and said, oh, well, he should be on the field. And I mean, whenever you're talking through the media, I mean, that's not the best dynamics in the world, in my opinion. And there's something going on there in the building. We don't know what outside, but I think, yeah, absolutely, he could play through and make all the carries, etc. What I do notice is that when they did put Carlos Hyde in last week, he doesn't look nearly as dynamic as James Robinson does. Okay. Right? Now, it's easy to say, well, Carlos Hyde, Ohio State, he's Urban Meyer's guy, and that's why he's doing that. I don't know. I mean, you can throw all sorts of theories out there, but in terms of the eyeball test, the quote injured James Robinson when he was in looked more dynamic than Carlos Hyde.
That's a good point. How about Joe Burrow, Doc? Okay, Joe Burrow's got the pinky dislocation or whatever exactly it was. He gutted out. He's as tough as they come, as we've seen sort of for it. Do you expect him to be able to basically have his normal like accuracy and arm strength and all that stuff with that pinky issue?
Yes, because he'll have a week to work through how he's going to change his grip. Is it going to be a glove? Is it going to be buddy tape? Is it going to be whatever it is? He's got a week to get it comfortable. On the fly, you saw him changing gloves, tape, this, that, the other. He wasn't sure what to do with it. Look, if you had a four-fingered quarterback and you lost your pinky finger, I think you still could be accurate and effective. So I'm not being facetious there, but I don't – he's practiced all week. I don't see this as a big deal. Will he get it numbed up before the game? Maybe. But they will have – the medical staff will find a solution where he's comfortable. Now, is he 100%? You know, you want to say his 100% arm strength and accuracy. Okay, he's clearly going to change his grip a little bit, but I don't see how – it's going to affect him significantly. If he has a bad game, I don't think he can say, obviously it was the pinky finger. I mean, I don't know that it's that clear.
Yeah. So another quarterback dealing with a finger injury is Taysom Hill, of course, with the mallet finger. And look, against the Jets, Taysom Hill might just be able to run the ball every single time and have a great fantasy day for a quarterback. But from a throwing standpoint, I think everybody thinks about Russell Wilson and they hear mallet finger. So they think, oh boy, he's not going to be able to throw the ball with any sort of conviction. But medically speaking, how do you expect this to affect Taysom Hill as a passer?
Well, Taysom Hill and Russell Wilson had mallet fingers, but Russell Wilson had a lot more. He had the PIP joint fracture dislocation too. And even Russell Wilson, remember, returned to play one series with both those injuries before he came out. And then he had the surgery. Taysom Hill finished the game. Now, you could also say, well, he also threw four picks later in the game. Now, the question were the four picks due to the mallet finger, or is it due to scheme, or is it due to luck, or is it due to Taysom Hill, you know, or is it due to the need that when teams know you have to throw the ball, the defense is different, and it's a lot harder when you don't have balance. The best news for Taysom Hill's finger this week is Alvin Kamara. I mean, Alvin Kamara coming back, that's the best news. It would not shock me if the Saints, and Sean Payton's always been very flexible, creative, if he ran a little two-man game, you know, option with Taysom Hill and Kamara as a bulk of the offense. And, you know, don't forget, Simeon can still come in and if they really need, you know, something else and whatever. You know, I think Taysom's finally got the starting job. I don't think he's going to give it up. You know, I think there's ways to be creative with it where he can still get some points in fantasy. How much it affects his throws, only he knows, but he's going to be able to play, I think.
Doc, I think desperate fantasy managers are hoping to see Julio Jones back on the field this week. Obviously, you know, he's got the window open. He's been practicing, so hopefully he's able to suit up. I know there's been some video of him at practice. If you've been able to see any of that, what are you seeing from that video?
Well, what I see is a superior athlete. I mean, he looks great, but I don't think he fully opens it up on that right side with his hamstring. So he favors it a little bit. I lean towards him playing for a couple of reasons. Number one, Julio Jones has a history of playing through injury, almost to his detriment, right? There's no A.J. Brown. He's still out with the chest. He's on injury reserve. The Titans are on a free fall. Obviously, it's, quote, just the Jaguars, but Detroit Lions won last week, so you can't look past anyone. The other thing is, and this is no offense to a Marquise Brown, okay, he's a great receiver. Julio Jones is not Marquise Brown. He can catch balls and get open different ways, not just off of pure speed, right? I mean, he's so big-bodied. He's the all-around guy. So with that, I think I lean towards him getting activated. We won't hear anything from him, right, because he's still on injury reserve, so there's no practice reports. There's no game status. But look for Saturday that he gets activated. I mean, technically, he could come Sunday morning too. But but look for this weekend for him. I lean towards him being activated for those reasons.
Doc, my guess is by the time people listen to this, and I may be wrong, that Elijah Mitchell is going to have been ruled out for this weekend's game. But I do want to point out, because I follow you on Twitter, of course, as I mentioned, and you said something early on, which about the fact that he was out of the game. He obviously got, after the big hit, he got checked. He went back in the game, subsequently self-reported. And so I wanted you just to explain to the audience what that meant to you when you heard that.
Well, that's why I came out and said, I don't think he plays this week. Because, look, I'm not trying to be critical of the independent neuro that was at the game. Remember, it was a Seattle-based independent neuro.
Right.
So there was no gamesmanship there. They checked him, and he didn't have symptoms, and he cleared. Okay, they put him back in the game. The fact that he had some sort of symptoms the next day essentially has him ruled out if those symptoms are from a concussion. If those symptoms were from a migraine, okay, they could clear him. Look, if you have symptoms, you go into the protocol. But if those symptoms are from the concussion, you're really not going to make it. Because why? Instead of, usually we go by trajectory in concussions. You're like this, up, 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 up. Well, if you're like up and then you go down and you go backwards, then right. you got to go slow in how you accelerate him. That's why I fully expect him to be out. If they had determined it was migraines or something else, they would already cleared him and said, oh, you're back in and this is why. So I fully expect him to be out. Who knows? You know, no, you know, you're looking at things from the outside. But that was a significance to me with Monday symptoms, later developing symptoms, the trajectory. And not only is he out this week, there's no guarantee next week for Elijah Mitchell. And so is it hasty? Look, once again, Jeff Wilson Jr., I was wrong. Initially, I was like, oh, don't worry about him this season, December at best. And he beat it. He came back in November. But then obviously now the setback. So they probably rushed the timeline. So maybe it's hasty this week.
Well, I will say it's a plug for you, Doc. And I'm just being honest as how I approach fantasy. That affected how I gave advice on waiver wire and what I was thinking about because I was following you and because you mentioned that about the fact that Mitchell had symptoms afterwards being brought back into the game and what that meant to you. So that is a reason, just so everybody who's listening should follow you on Twitter and should subscribe, obviously, to your website. The last one, though, Doc, that I want to ask, not a guy who's going to play this week, but hopefully next week, that is Miles Sanders, who had a really, really nice game there against the Jets. But then again, left the game late with an ankle injury. They were winning, Doc. I mean, the game was probably pretty much put away at that point. So do you think this is something where Miles Sanders next week is going to be able to suit up?
Yeah, I'll come back to that in 1 second. One final word on the 49ers.
Yeah.
Remember, and in terms of who's going to be running back, it ain't going to be Debo Samuel, right?
Because, yeah.
You know, with his groin, right? He's still been DNP. Could he still come back and play? Maybe. But one thing I'll tell you, for a receiver, a running back, there's no such thing as a minor groin, right? Remember, it's minor. It's minor, right? And it's extended. So San Francisco woes continue. The Eagles, I don't have any good news. I'm not worried about Miles Sanders. I think that was more score than anything else. The week before, initially, he indeed re-sprained the ankle, and I was worried about it. This one, I don't think it was really that bad at all. It was more the score, and he'd done his job, and let's just get him right after the bye. I have full confidence that Miles Sanders will be full go. I've got more confidence in Miles Sanders than I do in Jalen Hurts, and I have confidence in Jalen Hurts' ankle after the bye, too.
Beautiful. I love it. Doc, invaluable information as always. Thank you for fitting us in. You can see your gear right there. You are obviously very quickly fitting us in between everything you got. Appreciate you stopping by at Pro Football Doc, profootballdoc.com. Great information as always. All right. We'll be right back here with a game by game preview with me and Kyle Yates.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan and Kyle in the morning.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. What is up, Kyle Yates? How are you on this fine Friday morning?
I am doing good, sir. It is always good to chat with you. We were literally just talking for like 10 to 15 minutes before we started recording. And eventually we were like, you know what? We should probably do a podcast. Like, we should probably sit down and actually record. So yeah, this is where we're at. We're going to do a podcast now.
Yeah, it's good. We should probably do that considering that's what our actual job is and not to talk generally about football like we've been doing for the last 10 or 15 minutes. So we're just going to do that again, but we're going to record it this time for everybody. We've got a lot of games to get through. You know that Friday is insane. So we've got to get through everything. You know what Friday is, Dan and Kyle. In the morning is a game by game breakdown for everything we're going to see this weekend. First, let me get to a couple of housekeeping items. I'm not sure if it was announced yet, the winner of our November giveaway, which I believe was a signed Chris Godwin jersey, but we have one, and it's Dylan from Minnesota. Congratulations, Dylan. Now, if you are anybody but Dylan, you still have a chance to win if you've entered already, but if not, please do so now, to win our signed Alvin Kamara jersey. To be entered here, just subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's it. YouTube.com/FantasyBros. We got a lot of great material there, including videoing this podcast. Right now, you can see me and Yates and Yates's attractive face and my gremlin face, and it will all be fantastic. FantasyBros.com/contest is how you then take that subscription and enter it into our contest. Super easy. Get great content. Why not do it? Also, again, this is on our YouTube channel, and there's tons of reasons to subscribe to the YouTube channel, including our quick hitting videos, recording all our podcasts, our live streams that we do. There's a ton, especially on Sunday morning, to give you that last minute start sit advice. And if you like our content there, if you just check it out once in a while, please make sure you do subscribe. That's an easy way to support the show. Totally free, obviously, to do that. Just click the subscribe button and then also click the notifications button. You'll know every time we go live, every time we post a new video, all of that stuff, so you don't miss anything that we're doing.
The Fantasy Over Under Challenge.
All right, Yates, as usual, let's start with the Over-Under Challenge. That is sponsored by Caesars, as everybody knows by now. Just go to fantasypros.com/challenge. It is 10 fantasy point over-under. Super easy to do. You can win weekly prizes, and hopefully you've been entered all year, and you can win a grand prize, which is a two-night stay at Caesars Las Vegas Resort, plus airfare. Again, fantasypros.com/challenge. Let's go, Yates, and let's start with Lamar Jackson at Cleveland. 21.7 fantasy points.
With his rushing ability, he could easily hit the over and prove me wrong, right? If he finds the end zone as a runner, easily going to find the over here. But based on, we were talking about this after last week's game, like the Baltimore offense just looks broken right now. It is short passes underneath, and it's Lamar Jackson being asked to like scramble and find out something. So I got to take the under here. Until we start to see it consistently again, I'm going to take the unders.
I am as well. He's just, whether it's the illness or whatever's going on with him, he just does not look 100%, and that offense looks a little broken. So I agree with you. I will lean towards the under. What about Aaron Rodgers against Chicago? He does own them, Yates, as you know. He does own them. 20.7 fantasy points. What do you got?
You took my joke. So I won't go there. Yes, Aaron Rodgers, the over against Chicago. 20.7, it's a high line for someone who doesn't run, but I do think that he finds the over here.
I'm going to go under. This strikes me as a game where, you know, they might play a little conservative because they're heavy favorites and everything like that. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes over, but I will lean towards the under. How about Joe Mixon here against San Francisco? Obviously, he's had the illness, but assuming he plays, 16.2, pretty high line, Yates.
Yeah, the illness kind of scares me a little bit, but I do think that he'll bounce back before Sunday. You are right. This is a high line. However, I mean, outside of last week's game against the Chargers, he's been just getting it done for fantasy. So I will take the over here slightly.
Yeah, and even then, he still scored a touchdown, as he does pretty much every game. So I'll lean towards the over as well. How about Clyde Edwards-Helaire against Las Vegas, 11.6 fantasy points?
Pretty even split with Darrell Williams last week, but we kind of don't have clarity, right? Was that because of CEH dealing with that illness too? So there's some concern here. I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I am too, actually. Just, you know, again, he's got to find the end zone for this, so... When that's the case, I will lean towards the under with a guy like Edwards-Helaire. Antonio Gibson against Dallas, 14.2 Yates.
This is one of the ones that we come on and we joke about, like, I don't know what the line would have to be for me to take the under. I will take the over here with Gibson and the workload that he is seeing. Dallas, a tougher matchup for opposing running backs on the ground, but man, the workload that he's getting is just too insane for me to take the under here.
I agree. And you called it. Kudos to you for calling him the buy low very early on here. Chris Godwin against Buffalo, 11.9.
Tougher matchup, right? Up against Buffalo, even with Tre'Davious White out of the lineup for the year. However, the target volume is there. No AB. It's going to be Mike Evans. It's going to be Chris Godwin. It's going to be Gronk. I will take the over here with Chris Godwin.
Yeah, I'm always going to lean over, basically, unless the line is insane with Godwin right now, so long as AB is out, which, frankly, I expect probably for the rest of the year. Ja'Marr Chase against San Francisco, 13, even, Yates.
I have a little bit more confidence with Chase because of what we saw last week, even though he had that that bobbled pass that turned into an interception that easily, I think that would have gone for a touchdown, right? It was a beautiful, beautifully thrown ball. And I think that we were very close to like having confidence in Ja'Marr Chase again if that play turns into that big touchdown. But the injury for Burrow kind of gives me a little bit of pause here. So I'm going to play it safe with Ja'Marr Chase. I'm going to take the under.
So what I'll say here is that T. Higgins is the next guy actually on this over-under. And he is 12 fantasy points. So I guess give me your thought on that one. Is it the same thing that you're going to lean under?
I think I will play it safe and take the under. However, this is the balance between like, you know, prop bets and stuff like this versus then you know, like your fantasy lineup. So I think I will take the under here and just play it safe with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. But I do think that both of these guys still need to be started in your fantasy lineups.
One of these guys is going over this projection, Yates. Right. And I don't know. I just don't know which one, right? Because the secondary is pretty banged up. And if he can, you know, Burrow can just sort of sling it normally, anywhere close to normally, at least one of these guys is going to be able to burn them. I just don't know which one. I'm going to bet the over on Chase, the under on Higgins. But again, you're obviously starting both. Elijah Moore, he is banged up, by the way. So, you know, who knows if assuming he starts, though, and he's good to go, against New Orleans, 11.6.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under here because, one, I don't think that he's going to play. Even if he does, yeah, I don't think he's going to be 100%. So I will take the under here with Elijah Moore.
I'm with you. And finally, Travis Kelce against Las Vegas, 14 fantasy points.
We need to get Kelce back. I think that we will see it here against Las Vegas. I think this is a bounce back game for the Chiefs offense. Give me Travis Kelce the over.
I will go with that as well. All right, let's get into everything. It's Friday morning, as everybody knows by now. We don't have practice reports. If anything breaks while we're here, we will talk about it. But in the meantime, that is how we will be dealing with it.
Thursday night football recap.
First, let us start with last night's game, which was either the best worst game of all time or the worst best game of all time. The Vikings 36, the Steelers 28. Yates, you and I have been talking a lot this morning. We talked about it yesterday about what do you do with Dalvin Cook in this game. We found out he would be active. Then there was the Schefter tweet that suggested he'd have a big workload, but of course a chance for injury. We got 7,500 start and sit questions with him and Alexander Mattison. Ultimately, and you can give color to this, Kyle Yates, we ended up with him at 10th in our running back rankings. It's a little higher than ECR. Yay, 27 carries, 205 yards, and two touchdowns. He adds one catch for 17. Alexander Mattison just got 6 for 27. I don't know what there is to say about this other than Dalvin Cook is amazing, but if you would like to yell and pound the desk about your rankings process on him, go ahead.
I mean, this is one of the things, like, I put out on Twitter that it reminded me a lot of the Keenan Allen situation from 2020 in week 15. You remember that? Where Allen was like, don't sit me. And this was kind of the panic moment in fantasy managers' hearts where, but the process with this is you start your studs. These guys have gotten you to this point of the fantasy football season, and Dalvin Cook's been in and out of the lineup. I get it. But when he is active, he's receiving a ridiculous workload. And part of it, too, with Cook was that if he was healthy enough to even be like activated here for this game, where they could have sat him for, I think, 11 days, right? Because they have the Monday night football game against Chicago next week. So it's like, if you could have sat him for that entire time, but he is active here, that means that he's healthy enough to play and that he was going to receive his normal workload in a very, very plus matchup. So I got a ton. You said it, like 75 to 100 start sit questions. I'll take the over on that, man.
Yeah.
Like, we got a ton of questions about Dalvin Cook. And for me, I was continuously just saying, like, start him as a mid-range RB1, low-end RB1, like right in that range where we say you got to start Dalvin Cook because of his upside. And I'll go down swinging. I'll go down swinging with Dalvin Cook in my lineup versus watching him go off. And for fantasy managers that sat him, they're a little sick to their stomachs this morning.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I will say on that, and I said it this morning, we were talking about it with Joe and Pat when we were talking about what to do with him, is just that if there were a report like, you know, Daryl Henderson that we were talking about where it was like he's probably more going to be the emergency guy, then you can sit him. But everything suggested that he was going to have a normal workload. And again, right, I settled on 10th Yates. We talked about that mainly because it was like, look, I would rank him higher other than the fact that there's got to be a chance and a pretty high chance of re-injury in this game. So I want to balance that out with just basically being like, he's my number one running back or anything on the week. So I had him at 10th, which I thought was fair, but that is a start for a guy. And he looks phenomenal. But as you said last night, I could have, run through some of the holes that basically was going on. Yes. And again, as I said last night, not me per se, but pretty much anybody else in the world could have run through those holes. Meanwhile, Justin Jefferson has probably, Yates, what I will say is the most disappointing 79-yard touchdown day, right? I mean, there's a parallel universe where he has 250 yards receiving
and four touchdowns,
right? I mean, just constantly off his fingertips and everything like that. But 15 targets, you know, again, the very close touchdowns, just a 48% target share for the guy without Adam Thielen. But let's talk really more about KJ Osborne, because you know you're starting Justin Jefferson. Sees 9 targets. That's great. Only the 3 catches. Thankfully, one of them was that really long touchdown there late in the game. 83 yards total and a touchdown. Kudos to you, Yates. You were the highest of the Fantasy Pros analysts on him. I believe you had him 28th in your rankings. So that's nice. Let's talk about this, Yates. As long as Adam Thielen is out, do you think that KJ Osborne can be the reliable wide receiver 3 for you?
Absolutely. As a mid-range wide receiver 3 with upside. I mean, people are going to focus in on the 3 receptions, but you have to focus in on the 9 targets, right? The volume that was there for KJ Osborne. And some of those were contested catches that he wasn't able to bring in, like tight windows and stuff like that. That's not his game. But I do think that for him to be able to be utilized all over the field is really what we saw. And that's the encouraging part, that he was targeted everywhere. The opportunity, the volume is there moving forward. So as long as Adam Thielen is out of the lineup, we can get KJ Osborne into our starting lineups as a mid-range wide receiver three with upside.
I agree with you. Absolutely. You know, and a weird game here for Kirk Cousins, obviously just not, you know, 14 for 31. He throws two picks. He had three on the entire season coming in, 216 yards. And Tyler Conklin disappoints here with 2 for 20. Were you going to say something else, Hits? I'm sorry, did I cut you off at all?
No. Nope.
Or am I making
nope.
Okay, wonderful. For the Steelers, a very slow start for everybody. It looked terrible at halftime. I mean, if you rostered Najee Harris going into halftime, you were like, okay, my season is over right. at this point, right? Because they were behind by so much. But instead, 20 carries, 94 yards, and a score on the ground. Three catches, 10 yards, and a touchdown through the air. Big Ben throws for 308 yards and three touchdowns. One goes to Harris, as we just said. One to Pat Freiermuth, who, you know, almost caught the second one at the very yep. end of the game. Of course, a great throw by Ben. Doesn't come up with it. Only two catches for 32 yards, but you'll take it with the touchdown. The other one goes to James Washington, 4 for 65. Deontay Johnson drops a touchdown pass, at least one. We'll call one a drop. One a would have been a spectacular catch. 5 for 76. He does get the two-point conversion. But let's briefly talk about Chase Claypool here, Yates. Nine targets, eight catches, 93 yards. An egregious celebration of a first down at the very end, which cost the Steelers probably an extra play. He's been battling the toe injury here, Yates. And I don't know who said it on Twitter. I'm sorry. I was scrolling through. I saw it come across. I don't remember who said it, but somebody was like, oh, the only thing we need for Chase Claypool is for the Steelers to stop giving him easy plays and for start giving him right. just impossible catches, right? Right? Which he just comes down with. Yates, you know, he might be in the doghouse, really, because he was a little bit early, right? He had the taunting. He got benched for briefly. And then again, he had that horrible play at the very end, which just frankly showed some immaturity. But they've got Tennessee, they've got KC, they've got Cleveland coming up. I mean, assuming that he's not benched going forward or anything like that, do you view him as just a set it and forget it option at wide receiver?
Well, it's funny with Claypool, because at the beginning of the game, not only did he have that penalty, but then also he had that play that was nearly a yes. fumble because he yes. was extending. And you looked at that and you were just like, man, Claypool's going to get benched. Like yeah. I had Claypool pretty high in my rankings this week. And I was like, fearful, because I was like, this is crazy. He's going to get benched because he is just not making smart decisions out there. But he ends up coming through. I think Claypool is like the new Mike Williams, you know, like just these guys that makes ridiculous contested catches, and that's pretty much all he can do. Right. Very volatile option, but the target volume was there because they were playing from behind for so much of this game. So I think, yeah, moving forward, Claypool kind of in that same territory of KJ Osborne if we do have Adam Thielen out. Now, there's the possibility that Claypool disappoints because he can't reel in those contested catches deep downfield, but if Ben is going to keep airing it out the way that he did last night, and he did that frequently, I think that we can continue to start Claypool as a high upside wide receiver three.
Yeah, and not only that, Yates, but I mean, he just an egregious miss of a block on a running play early yep. on where yep, he just exactly didn't even do it, too. Right? He just mm-hmm. was sort of ole. Like, he had a really, really terrible game, but was ultimately productive for fantasy purposes, right? Like, there's this whole other universe, like I said, where, you know, Justin Jefferson is the wide receiver one on the week, and right. Chase Claypool has one catch for 7 yards on the week. But in the end, they both produce for fantasy. I agree with you. As long as he's out there, as long as he's not in the doghouse, I do think that he's at a point where, like, yeah, like, we still start Mike Williams every week. You start Chase Claypool every single week and see what comes of it. And thankfully here for his fantasy managers, at the very least, he was able to put up some numbers at least. All right, before we get into all the games this weekend, let me tell you about FanTeam. If you have been to Europe for any length of time, you already know about FanTeam because it is Europe's largest daily fantasy sports site. But now it is available in the US, 20 states, in fact, have it available here. They offer DFS for the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, and golf is coming soon. And FanTeam offers their users chances to win huge, huge cash prizes, like ginormous. They also hold multiple contests every single day. Just sign up at fanteam.co/fantasypros, and that is with a capital F and a capital P in Fantasy Pros, just like our actual name, okay? So that's fanteam.co, capital F, A-N-T, A-S-Y, capital P-R-O-S, Fan Team, where the fan becomes the manager.
Matchup previews.
All right, Yates, let's get into it. Let's start here. We talked about briefly about Lamar Jackson, so let's talk about that game as we get into it. The Ravens are visiting the Browns. This is the second straight game for the Browns to face the Ravens because they faced them, then they had the bye, then they faced them again. You're starting Lamar Jackson, of course, Yates. You are starting Mark Andrews. Where do you have Hollywood Brown rank this week? Is he just a kind of guy who you have in your lineup as a borderline wide receiver one or a little bit lower than that?
Yeah, no, I've got him down at 19 on the week. Okay. Where you look at Marquise Brown from weeks one through six, he was playing insanely well. And I mean, had kind of transitioned away from this like boomer bust kind of player and was incredibly consistent. From weeks one through nine, Brown was averaging 14.8 yards per reception. However, from weeks 10 through 13, which is kind of where we've seen the Ravens offense fall off, Brown has watched his yards per reception numbers literally be sliced in half to 7.5. He is essentially just used as this underneath receiver. That's, again, we talked about it with Lamar Jackson. It's kind of what this offense is doing. So the big play potential really isn't there with Marquise Brown anymore. So we've got to downgrade him down the rankings. So I've got him at wide receiver 19 on the week.
True or false, Yates, Devontae Freeman should pretty much just be in every fantasy lineup this week.
I will say false because I've still got him at 21. So I think there are definitely other options that you can look at. However, I will preface the rest of this conversation with saying, like for the rest of this podcast, by saying that the running back rankings this week is a complete mess right now. Like there is no consensus whatsoever because we have so many players that are up in the air, right? And so many players that will be affected by injury, right? We got Elijah Mitchell still hanging around, but Jeff Wilson could play. David Montgomery's got groin, glute, and shoulder injuries. Like he might not play. Tony Pollard right. might not play, which moves Zeke up the rankings. Like there are so many different players that will adjust where exactly we have these guys. So when I talk about Devontae Freeman being at RB21, there's the potential that he moves up a couple spots, but depending on other injury situations. So I'm not ready to say that he like belongs in every single starting lineup, but if you've got him, and unless you have one of the other top, I'll say 18 other options, yeah. then yes, you're considering playing him because he is a solid play.
So would you start him or Jamal Williams here, assuming that DeAndre Swift is going to miss this game against Denver?
Yeah. So even, I mean, assuming that Swift misses, then I've still got Jamal Williams at 23. So okay. I really don't have like a ton of confidence in Jamal Williams. I will play Devontae Freeman over Williams.
Yeah. I mean, there is a universe, of course, where you're not starting Devontae Freeman, but I am. Like, I have him at 19 right now, and that's with ranking everybody, Yates. That's with basically saying, like, okay, I'm going to assume Elijah Mitchell's going to play, which, by the way, I don't actually think that's going to happen, but for now, yep. as we go in until we get reports that he's out, that's where I'm ranking him. I'm ranking him like Dave Montgomery is going to be playing in this game. That's where I am, and I just think right now that it's very clear that Freeman is the guy. You know, Latavius Murray was greatly outsnapped and everything like that, and they know that Freeman needs to be involved. So for me, I mean, again, I can see a universe where you're not, but for me, he's pretty much a guy who I'm putting in my lineup. Anybody else, Gates? I mean, we don't have to talk about Rashad Bateman anymore, do we?
Nope. No, he can be dropped.
Okay, very good. For the Browns, of course, you're starting Nick Chubb, but I do want to ask where you have him, Yates, because I realized, again, I do the kickoff. This podcast that I did this morning is the one where I look at my rankings versus consensus. Looked like consensus was 8 as of yesterday. I have him at 12. What about you?
I have him at nine, okay. and I don't feel great about it. I am going to be on the side. I'm going to err or side more with you there, where you got him at 12. I think Nick Chubb, the last time that we saw him play against Baltimore, right, or even be on the field, was right. against Baltimore, and he was not productive whatsoever. So I think we definitely have to be concerned here. This Cleveland offense, I think we should see them get at least back on track after their bye week. I think they go back into that and say, okay. Again, they've just got the previous example of Baltimore to be able to look at and say, what didn't work? All right, let's fix that. Going up against Baltimore again. So I think he's still in the RB1 territory for sure. So you're most likely starting Nick Chubb if you've got him. But I do think that we have to at least be a little bit more concerned than we have been in previous weeks.
How about Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt right at RB24 for me. So yep. We talk about the Myles Gaskin line, which is RB24 for me. Kareem Hunt is the Myles Gaskin of this week with no Gaskin because he's on bye. So Kareem Hunt at RB24 for me. You can look his way if you need to.
Out there, if you are looking for a job or something like that, I believe that the Ravens are looking for help in their secondary. So go ahead and check it out. With that said, Yates, Jarvis Landry, starter sit.
Last time he played, he went for 111 yards against Baltimore. So I've got Jarvis Landry at wide receiver 31 on the week, returned to practice yesterday. I do think that we can look his way as a mid-range wide receiver 3, not with the upside of 111 yards, certainly, but where else is the ball going to go in this offense? So yeah. I do think we can look his way.
I do have him at 27 this week, I believe, at wide receiver, and that's really just, I realize that the upside may not be there necessarily, but I also, at this point, at a wide receiver 3 spot, man, give me some stability, which I think Landry's going to offer here, right? God, because it's just hit or miss everywhere. How about Austin Hooper? I'm assuming that David Njoku is not going to be able to play in this game. But if he's out, do you have any interest in streaming Austin Hooper?
Not really. I mean, okay. Even if Njoku misses, like, Hooper is just so volatile. So you're looking his way because you have no other options.
Yep, which you often have at tight end, but I agree. Right. He's outside the starting conversation. Jaguars at the Titans. I mean, Yates, what do you're starting James Robinson, I assume, right, in this game, assuming that he goes?
Yeah, I've got him at RB19, and I really don't have many concerns with James Robinson and, like, battling through the injuries, like he's nicked up and stuff like that. That's really not the concern. The concern is Urban Meyer and the fact that, I mean, he was benched. He was outright benched, and Urban Meyer is kind of skirting around that issue. But no, he was benched last week, and you just don't want to admit it. And that is terrifying for fantasy managers. We cannot comfortably start James Robinson as a like high-end RB2 anymore because there's always the possibility that he's going to miss time because he fumbles.
Yeah, right now I have, as I said, Freeman over him just because I feel a little more comfortable with that way. I could see this, especially after, you know, some of the comments and stuff, that they do lean back into Robinson. It's not a great matchup, though, again, with the Titans who exploit them more through the air. With that said, Yates, do you want to say and yell at me about, like, why do you still have Marvin Jones as a borderline wide receiver 3 in this matchup? Because that's where I land on him at wide receiver 36. What about you?
Oh, I've got him at 42. So, yes, I don't understand why you continue to have Marvin Jones there. Really, none of these Jacksonville Jaguars receivers we should be looking at, right? Like, we just saw Laquon Treadwell lead this team in receiving last week off the top of my head. Like, no, I'm not going near Marvin Jones. I'm not going near LaVisca Chenault. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I understand. I think really when it comes to me, Yates, the guys right behind him are like Jameson Crowder. I don't really want to go there. Cortland Sutton. I mean, I think Cortland Sutton looks at Marvin Jones's production and says, yes, please. Right.
Yeah, like at right. This point. I'll take that. Yeah.
Right. Any day of the week. So it's much more about the fact like I don't like recommending Marvin Jones as a start. And I really am not like he's 36. But again, the guys behind him are just so, I mean, Emmanuel Sanders.
Wide receiver rankings, man, are like, you remember, was it week 8 this year where it was like everyone was on bye week and our wide receiver rankings were just like terrible?
Yeah.
I feel like that this week. Like you get out, you get past the top 25, top 24, and you're just like, I really don't want to be considering any of these guys from our starting lineups, but I have to because there's no other better options.
Yeah. And again, I expect the Titans to try to use this as a get right game here. They're heavily favored. I think that they will try to put up points. Hopefully Julio Jones plays. We'll get to that in a second. So I think that there's going to be pass volume, and I don't think it's going to be going to LaVisca Chenault because it never does. And so I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I'll give this guy 5, 6, maybe even 7 targets. That's basically where I am. Anybody else here, Yates, with the Jaguars that you want to even think about starting?
No, we can't. It's James Robinson and everyone else deserves to be sat.
All right. So for the Titans, Yates, let's assume Julio Jones goes here because it is trending in that direction with how he's been at practice here. Do you want to start him this week?
Again, we just finished talking about the wide receiver options, so I think that you have to. I have Julio Jones, assuming that he is activated off of IR and is going to play in this matchup against Jacksonville, at wide receiver 35. There is always the possibility of re-injury, so that's kind of banking it into my rankings there. But I do think that we can look at Julio Jones as someone that deserves to be started because, again, are you going to start Marquez Valdes-Scantling over him? Are you going to start like Tyler Boyd, Cortland Sutton, Cole Beasley? I want the upside with Julio Jones in this matchup.
How about Julio Jones against Russell Gage, Yates?
I have Russell Gage at 33. I have Julio Jones at 35. There is the potential that if we get like Julio Jones, the practice reports here today, like a full practice and that he is activated, he's ready to go. There is the possibility that he rises up further past Russell Gage.
How about Jones against Christian Kirk, a guy who obviously didn't do much last week, nor did anybody here really for the Cardinals. What do you think?
I mean, what did Murray throw? Like 18 pass attempts, 15 pass attempts,
you know,
like,
yes.
So that's, I'm really not taking a ton away from that. Christian Kirk at 34 for me, Julio Jones at 35. And then I've got Russell Gage at 33. So you're asking good questions. Again, it's kind of the same philosophy with Russell Gage. If we get the practice reports for Julio, they come back positive, I'll move Julio above Christian Kirk.
Okay, how about the running game here, Yates? You've got Deonta Foreman, you've got Dontrell Hilliard. Sounds like maybe Jeremy McNichols comes back here. What are you doing with all these running backs?
Yeah, so I've got Foreman at 29. I've got Hilliard at 30. If McNichols comes back, we got to downgrade Hilliard, I think, because that will be the role. And I just don't know who's going to take that role, right? Both of those guys are going to be vying for the receiving work in this offense. So just don't know exactly where the ball is going to go between the two of them. I think you have to downgrade Hilliard. I'll still give this slight edge to Hilliard. He's looked great. So I will still put him in that top 36 territory. But otherwise, yeah, you got to be concerned with McNichols potentially coming back.
Any interest in starting Ryan Tannehill in this one? Yates.
I have him at 17 on the week, and that's assuming that Julio Jones plays. So I think there are better options. I will, dear God help me, but I will go with Cam Newton over Ryan Tannehill this week. I just don't, with Tannehill, I can't trust him. You know, it's one of the things where I've got to see it. I've got to see him. I've got to see him bounce back before I can put him in my starting lineup. So, but he is still in the streaming category. You can look his way if you are in a pinch.
I like that you say you can't trust Ryan Tannehill, and then you're like, so I'm starting Cam Newton over him.
Oh, I know.
As if you will trust Cam Newton.
I know.
But I'm with you, by the way. I want to make that clear. I do have Cam Newton one spot ahead of Ryan Tannehill. And again, most experts, I think he was 17th or something last night in ECR. I have him higher than that. I'm 14th. I think they need to get him right in this game. But again, yeah, I will start Cam Newton over him, where I think we're just going to see nonstop rush attempts here from Carolina as they look to, you know, play conservatively enough to beat Atlanta. All right, before we keep going, Yates, it is the holiday season. My daughter's birthday is in a couple of days. But when you're thinking about yourself at Saturday night, you can think about me running a karaoke party that I will be doing for her and, you know, seven of her friends tomorrow night, which will be my hell, but I will power through and I will distract myself by updating my rankings. But in the meantime, I look for presents for her, for Will, constantly from Pristine Auction, both for the holidays and just, and again, Sophie likes things like coins. That's where I look for a Pristine Auction. Will likes things like every sort of football memorabilia that he can get, and I look for it there. And I'm telling you, if that's what you want for your holiday season, you need to be going to Pristine Auction, because there are just thousands, there are hundreds of football helmets up for auction right now. There are, you know, tens of thousands of football items up right now. There are thousands of baseball items. Anything you want, you can find over there at Pristine Auction, where it is free to register. It is free to bid. You only pay if you win something. And because there are auctions every single day, you can just get amazing prices on whatever you're looking for. PristineAuction.com. See for yourself, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And if you want $5 in free credits, use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up. That'll know we sent you. Again, PristineAuction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. Raiders at the Chiefs. Yates, you're starting Josh Jacobs right now. I mean, you're starting him every single week, but without Kenyon Drake, Yates, how high do you actually have Josh Jacobs this week?
I have him at RB8 on the week. I feel extremely confident in playing Josh Jacobs lately. I mean, he's been getting the job done. He's been finding the end zone, and then the target volume that he's been seeing out of the backfield. You're right, with no Kenyon Drake, I think that we see that continue to be steady. And especially too, if no Darren Waller, we'll talk about him in a minute, but if no Darren Waller either, then the targets have to go somewhere. So Jacobs, yes, I feel very confident playing him as a mid-range RB1.
Yeah, I'm at 9, I believe. So we are right there. How about Hunter Renfrow, Yates? I mean, two big games in a row. He's got to be a top 20 guy at this point, right?
He is for me. He's at wide receiver 15. I will absolutely play Hunter Renfrow this week in this matchup. Tougher matchup, individual matchup against L'Jarius Sneed. However, I do think that Renfrow is just seeing enough volume to be one of these guys that we just consistently look at in our starting lineups now. We got to get him in, because you look at like Terry McLaurin, he's not getting the job done. I've got Hunter Renfrow over him. DJ Moore, you know, wide range of outcomes with the quarterback play. You know, Marquise Brown not getting the job done. So all these guys behind Hunter Renfrow, I want the guy who's actually producing. And so getting Renfrow into my starting lineups if I've got him.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, he's a must-start option at this point, top 20 guy without question. So let's talk about the tight ends. Yeah, it's right now I'm not expecting Darren Waller to play. I'm not ranking him, right? So if he does play, of course, you're starting Darren Waller. What about if he doesn't? I mean, you had Foster Moreau, who wasn't that far away from having a big game if he could have come up with that touchdown last week, but ultimately disappointed fantasy managers. How do you feel about him in this one?
I want to go right back to him. I've got him not necessarily to the same level of optimism that I had with last week. I think I had him at like 9 or 10 in my tight end rankings. I've got him at 13 this week. But you look at if Kansas City does get right this game against the Raiders defense, which is just abysmal lately, then we're going to see the pass volume uptick here for Las Vegas. It could all go to Hunter Renfrow. It could all go to Josh Jacobs. But I think there's an opportunity here for Moreau to be that red zone presence. So I'm plugging him right back in. I know that he burned fantasy managers last week that took the shot on him, but I'm taking the shot again this week.
With that, do you have any interest in starting Derek Carr against a improving Chiefs defense?
Carr's production has just been like all over the place recently, yep. Right? Like he has in week 9, he was the quarterback 19, week 10, quarterback 7, quarterback 23, quarterback 8, quarterback 20. So he's just been, it's been a yo-yo. So I think that this is a game where we could see him, you know, bounce back and produce some solid numbers, especially if we do see the pass volume tick up. But I've got him at QB 15 on the week. So he's just that last player where we talk about as a start in our, you know, qualifications here. But I would still feel a little bit more confident starting guys like, I mean, I started Kirk over him, Cousins over him last night, like Russ, yep. I'll look his way, Matthew Stafford, those kind of guys.
How about Ryan Tannehill or Derek Carr?
I will go with Derek Carr in that situation.
Okay, I do have Tannehill ranked ahead of him right now. I'm a little concerned about what we're going to see here, but yeah, he's a little bit hit or miss here with Carr, but hopefully the game script necessitates that he'll need a ton of pass attempts to get there. For the Chiefs, usual deal, man. I mean, you're starting Patrick Mahomes still, even though, right? I mean, like, I meant QB5. I just want to make it clear. He has been disappointing for a while. So are you around there or what?
I've got him at QB7. You are right. Disappointing. He's one of these guys that we consistently were just setting at QB1 on the week and just like feeling, all right, I feel pretty good about that. But lately it has not been good. However, we can say this with confidence that the last time Mahomes played Las Vegas, he finished the week as the QB1. So overall QB1. So I do think there's upside here, but we do have to be concerned at this point.
And you are starting Tyreek Hill, of course. You are starting Travis Kelce, of course. And where do you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire ranked this week, Gates?
I have CEH currently at RB18 on the week. Great matchup against Las Vegas. So definitely think we can look his way. However, we do have to be concerned about was last week the splits there, the snap splits with CEH and Darrell Williams. Off the top of my head, it was like 29-26 in favor of CEH. So was that because of the illness for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or was it because this is what they want the backfield to look like? So some concern there, but still CEH saw several, I think 17 touches off the top of my head. So yes, I think we can look his way at RB18 this week.
How about Williams? I mean, is he what, a desperation flex for you?
Desperation flex. Yep. I've got him at RB34. And actually I'm going to move him up currently above, like I just looked at my rankings. I'm like, I'm not going to play him over Rex Burkett or Tevin Coleman, who are the two guys above. So I will play Darrell Williams in that instance because there is still upside, right? He's still being utilized as a receiver. The touches aren't there, but the upside is there. So yes, Darrell Williams at RB32 on the week.
And nobody else for Kansas City, right?
No. Nope.
Very good. Saints, Jets. Let's start with the Jets here, Yates. Let's assume Elijah Moore plays. Locked in your starting lineup if he gets the clean bill of health?
Yeah, I've got him as a low-end wide receiver too currently. I will probably move him down below guys like Darnell Mooney, Van Jefferson, and Brandon Ayuk. And then we get into like Brandon Cook's territory, Mike Williams, Odell Beckham Jr. Like that's probably the territory that'll have Elijah Moore, because if he gets into practice today, I think he'll be good enough to go. But like I said, with the over-under challenge, I do not expect him to play.
If he does not play, Yates, do you have any interest in any Jets pass catcher?
I think Jamison Crowder deserves consideration because, like, where else is the ball going to go? You'll have Keelan Cole activated here, but remember, no Corey Davis for the rest of the year. So, like, we know that New York is going to have to play from behind in this one. At least I feel pretty confident in that. So, you know, the pass volume could be there for Crowder, and that's been the issue lately is that the volume hasn't been there. So, yeah, I do think you can look at Crowder as a high floor play, very low upside. But if you are in a pinch, you lose Elijah Moore and Crowder's out there on the waiver wire, I think you can look his way.
Yeah, I think Keelan Cole's on the COVID list, right?
He came off of it yesterday.
Did he come off of it yesterday? Yep. Okay, very good. How about for the running backs? You just mentioned Tevin Coleman, who, by the way, is dealing with a concussion. We don't know if he's going to be able to go. What do you do if Coleman is active? What do you do if Coleman is not active?
I think you run away from this backfield no matter what. I've got Coleman at 34 on the week, and that's assuming that he suits up, and then Ty Johnson at 39. Honestly, if Coleman misses, I'll probably just move Ty Johnson up to like RB34, right where Coleman is, because it's up against the Saints and you cannot start the Jets running back up against the New Orleans Saints run defense this week. You can't do it.
Yeah. All right. So Alvin Kamara is going to come back here. So obviously you love to have him in this matchup. for sure. How about Taysom Hill, Yates? I mean, what do you do with the guy who can run all over the Jets but might not be able to throw the ball whatsoever?
Yeah, I've got him at 9 currently in my rankings. That's kind of a placeholder for figuring out what's going on with the finger there with Taysom Hill. So I think even if he does suit up, he's a starter, which it sounds like it's trending that way. Yeah. I think you start him because of the rushing upside. And again, it's the Jets. You know, it's the Jets secondary. So even though he doesn't have the best pass catchers, he's going to get Alvin Kamara back. And all he has to do is get the ball, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. That's all he has to do. Just get it right to Alvin Kamara and let him create. So, yes, I will start Taysom Hill this week.
I also have him at 9 as well. Anybody else in the Saints you are even thinking about starting other than Kamara and Taysom Hill, with Mark Ingram probably to miss this game being on the COVID list?
Yep, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I was just about to do that. Mark Ingram most likely going to miss this game. So outside of that, like, Traquan Smith is a desperation dart throw play just because of the matchup. Otherwise, no, you can't look at any of these guys.
I agree with you, Yates. Before we keep going, everyone's getting into investing in cryptocurrencies right now. If you are interested in doing so, but you don't know where to start, check out the Kraken app. With Kraken, you can buy and sell over 50 of the most popular cryptos like Bitcoin and Dogecoin, a ton more, whatever you want, 24/7. It is super easy to get started. Just download the app, create your account, and you will be investing in minutes. And you want to dip your toes into the water, Kraken is your place. I mean, Bitcoin right now is trading, you know, $40,000, $50,000. You can buy as little as $10 if you want. Find out for yourself why Kraken has been one of the highest rated places to buy crypto for the last 10 years. Visit kraken.com/fantasybros now. Learn more or search for Kraken in the App Store. All right, Yates, Cowboys at the Washington football team. Let's start with Washington here. I mean, we talked about Gibson. Gibson is just a guy who you love to see. I have met 8. I bet you have him higher.
You are correct. I've met RB4 on the week.
Oh, boy. I love it. I mean, look, you can't get away from the volume. He's been fantastic. But what about Terry McLaurin, Yates? He just consistently disappoints right now. And I feel like start-sit decisions on Sunday morning, I'm constantly like, yeah, McLaurin, he's good. He's good to go, like, over some of these other options. But I'm starting him, but I'm a little hesitant here. What do you think?
I'm right in that same boat with you. Over the past 4 weeks, we've got Terry McLaurin in half PPR scoring formats with wide receiver 35 finish, wide receiver 7, wide receiver 42, wide receiver 58. Like, the floor that we thought he was bringing is just not there. And really, all throughout the year, he's been kind of inconsistent. He has some boom weeks, but then there are other weeks where he's finishing outside the top 40 consistently. So I think we got to kind of split the gap there. I've got McLaurin at 17 on the week. I do think that you can still look his way in this matchup because there's the possibility that Washington gets behind and then has to throw the ball a little bit more. But we can no longer view him as this, like, borderline wide receiver 1. We got to downgrade him.
With them throwing more, do you have any interest in Taylor Heinicke?
I have him at 16, so sandwiched right between Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill. Do think that you can look his way, but I really don't know if there's a ton of upside with Heinicke this week.
How about the tight ends here, Yates? Logan Thomas, obviously, I've done for the year, as everybody knows. It's been very difficult for me to get through this podcast, yep, but I'm soldiering on. If Ricky Seals-Jones plays, or if not, John Bates, do you have any interest in either guy?
If Ricky Seals-Jones plays, I do think we can look his way. I've got him at tight end 15, assuming that he does suit up. So, again, whenever we saw Logan Thomas out of the lineup and RSJ was playing, he was seeing plenty and plenty of volume. So I do think that he is a fine play, assuming that he suits up. Otherwise, John Bates, no, I don't think we can look his way just yet.
All right, for the Cowboys, you know, we talk so much about Zeke being injured, and now Tony Pollard's got the torn, you know, plantar fascia. Sounds like he is going to be able to play, or he's a game time decision at the very least. What do you think? Let's say both guys are active. How do you feel about them?
Assuming that both guys are active, I think it's more of a pain tolerance issue for Tony Pollard. So assuming that both guys are active, I have Zeke at 16, Tony Pollard at 28. I have major concerns about the workload that Pollard's going to see, even if he does suit up, because again, it sounds like it's a pain tolerance issue. There's no guarantee that he, you know, sees the 3 touches to start the game or whatever in the first quarter and then is like, you know what, I can't do this. And, right, you know, and then sits. So Tony Pollard at 28 there. And it is a tougher matchup for opposing running backs. Washington's defensive front is incredibly tough against opposing running backs. It's the secondary that's been gashed. So yeah, and then assuming that Pollard sits, is inactive, then Zeke would probably move up into RB13, RB12 territory.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, actually, on all accounts. I also have Pollard exactly at 28. Zeke is right there with you as well, and I would move him up accordingly. It would not be somebody who would vault into like a top five running back just because Pollard was out or anything like that, given the matchup, as you said. And again, he is battling his own health issues, but you did mention the secondary can be exploited. So just, I guess, talk to me about all three of the wide receivers here. How do you have them ranked?
We definitely should be looking at all three of these guys. CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver 8 on the week. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 18 for me. And then Michael Gallup at wide receiver 30. With Cooper back, sounds like he has no limitations whatsoever. He's back to his like normal health after dealing with COVID there. So sounds like he is back fully healthy. I've got him at wide receiver 18 on the week. We can feel confident plugging him back into our starting lineups, especially because of the matchup. But we just don't know exactly what the target breakdown is going to be. So I do think that all three of these guys are worth considering. I am still betting that it's going to go to CeeDee Lamb. It's going to go to Amari Cooper. And then Gallup will be the boom or bust kind of option, where if he finds the end zone again like he did last week, that'd be great. But there is at least a little bit of a lower floor.
All right, so calling him a boom or bust option, I mean, that's pretty much every wide receiver 3, right? So where do you have him ranked?
Yep, I've got him at 30 on the week. So kind of right with Mike Williams at 26, Odell Beckham Jr. at 27. I had KJ Osborne at 28, like right in that same territory.
Yeah, I'm at 30 as well. Very nice. And are you starting Dalton Schultz?
I have concerns about Dalton Schultz. I mean, there was a four-week stretch at the beginning of the season where Schultz was just playing lights out football. I mean, from weeks 3 to 6, Schultz didn't finish worse than the tight end 10 on the week. And then since coming off their bye week in week 7, Schultz has finished inside the top 12 tight ends just once. So the opportunity really just isn't there. I do think that we can still look his way, but as a top 12 play, but just because of the other tight end options, but I don't think that we can continue to view him as this like borderline top 5 option every single week, especially now that we have, you know, Cooper back, Gallup back, and CeeDee Lamb healthy. So yeah, I think Dalton Schultz top 12 play still, but we have to be concerned.
And you're starting Dak, of course, right?
Of course. Yep. He has a overall QB1 upside this week.
Falcons at the Panthers. For the Falcons, look, you're starting Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, I don't think we really need to talk about that, but we do need to talk about Kyle Pitts, who you rail against expert consensus rankings and my rankings every single week of Pitts because he just hasn't produced. So where do you slot him in this week?
I've got him at 8 on the week this week. So again, the target volume should be there. Tougher matchup, but I mean, I had Tyler Conklin at 10, then it's Zach Ertz at 11, Tyler Higbee at 12, Foster Moreau at 13. So it's like, am I really going to be starting, you know, Tyler Higbee over Kyle Pitts or Zach Ertz? The answer is no to that. So Pitts moves up the rankings there, but yeah, still someone that I really don't have complete confidence in.
Yeah, I'm with you. I struggle with where to rank him each and every week just because, again, you know, you look at the way the game should unfold. He should be peppered with targets. But again, there, my guess is they'll put Gilmore on him and maybe they'll even give help over the top or something like that. So it's just really hard to find a way for him to produce. And yet he's Kyle Pitts and tight end is not a great position. So it's hard to drop him too far. And again, we mentioned Gage Yates. Where did you say you actually had him ranked?
In your 33 currently.
Okay. Yep. All right. So I've got him at 31. We're right there. Again, I have concerns, Yates. Like, I don't want to run out there and start Russell Gage, but I'm probably going to be starting Russell Gage where I have him just because I think he can't ignore the volume that he's seen of late. How about for the Panthers, Yates? Again, how do you see this backfield breaking down here with Abdullah and Chuba Hubbard?
I have Chuba Hubbard at RB26 on the week. Really don't have a ton of, like, confidence in starting him because what's the upside, right? What's the upside for Chuba Hubbard now with Cam Newton as quarterback, especially too with Amir Abdullah in the fold? The receiving work isn't going to go to Chuba Hubbard. And what's the goal line work? Well, the goal line work is going to go to Cam Newton most likely, assuming that he stays in and isn't benched. So like that's kind of the narrative here with Chuba Hubbard. Like you can look his way because he's going to see what 12 to 15 carries in this one, but there's very, very little upside in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the upside for me would be that they basically said, we fired Joe Brady because he didn't run the ball 75 times, and that's all we're doing in this matchup in a game that we're going to rely on our defense. And yeah, Chuba Hubbard only gets like, you know, a small percentage of the running back touches, and that's like 25. But I agree, especially without the goal line work here, I have him at 24, so basically right around where you do, because I agree with you. It's just, it's something where, you know, especially, you know, with the way Abdullah is going to factor in and with Cam, it's going to be tough. And again, we said you and I are both like kind of gritting our teeth, but I have Cam at 13. Is that around where you have him?
I have him at 14. So, yeah. I mean, any other matchup, I would be like, hell no, I'm not starting Cam Newton. But against Atlanta, who is allowing, I think it's either the second most or the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this entire season. Like, you have to look at the quarterback that is playing up against Atlanta. So, hopefully we see a better performance than 5 for 21. Hopefully we see that. But with his rushing upside, I think there's an excellent chance that Newton finishes as a top 10 option, but then there's also an equally greater chance that he finishes outside the top 24. So it's a volatile play, but if you're in need of a quarterback, I think you can look his way.
I do feel like it's going to be a good game for him, man. Like, I really just do, but I have very little confidence in that, given what we just saw. And again, you're starting DJ Moore, and then you're tweeting at us, you know, middle of the game being like, why did you tell me to start DJ Moore, right?
Yeah, of course. DJ Moore at wide receiver 16 for me. Again, because of the matchup. If it was a tougher matchup, would have him lower, but again,
he'd
talk about
it too.
He'd
still be a starter, though,
like,
right?
Like, once you get outside the top 24, then it's like, it's pretty gross. So it's okay, at that point, I'm not going to rank DJ Moore outside the top 24.
Very good. We are in agreement. Yates, Seahawks visiting the Texans. Let's do the Texans first because it's very quick. All right. Well, how about Brandon Cooks, Yates? I mean, Brandon Cooks is a guy who I rank as a starter every single week just because I feel like I have to. And yet it rarely works out these days.
Rarely works out. They're going back to Davis Mills with Tyrod Taylor injured. I do not feel great about this one. So I've got Brandon Cooks at 25, but there is a strong possibility that by the time we get to Sunday, I move him further down. But it's just there's no upside whatsoever to Brandon Cooks anymore.
I think Brandon Cooks is like one of, if not the single guy that I struggle with ranking every single week, right? Because like you look at everything just with the target share that he should get, and like it was early in the season, and things should be better than they are, even if you don't have faith in the Texans, but they're just not. So it's tough. But yeah, I'm still ranking him as a, you know, a borderline wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, somewhere around there. Any interest in the running backs? Yeah, it's
no.
Rex Burkhead.
Nope.
No.
Run
All
away.
Right. Ignore everybody else, right?
Yep.
All right. For the Seahawks, starting both wide receivers here for the Seahawks, of course, right? I have them both, Yates, as basically wide receiver 1s. Is that where you have like borderline wide receiver 1s?
Yes, right in that same range. I got Metcalf at 12, Tyler Lockett at 14.
Okay, very good. It sounds like, Yates, like most likely Alex Collins is going to be able to return here and Adrian Peterson is not going to be active for this game. He hasn't been in practice, right? So let's assume that it's Collins and it's Rashad Penny. What are you doing with these guys?
You're looking at Rashad Penny as a like very close inside the top 36 play, like, and just because you're desperate. We talked about that on the Waiver Wire podcast. Like, you're really not looking his way confidently. And then Alex Collins, like, just drop him. Like, drop him. Hopefully someone else in your league looks at that and says, like, oh, Alex Collins is going to get plenty of work this week. And then they plug him into your lineup or plug him into their lineup and they get 3 points.
Russell Wilson show you enough to be QB1 this week, Yates?
He did in this matchup, right? Yep. I talked about it with like Taysom Hill and, you know, Cam Newton. Like, in a different matchup, I'd probably be a little bit more concerned, but it's up against Houston. I've got Wilson at 11.
And you want to watch Gerald Everett like drop a ton of passes, Gerald like, Everett in your lineup or out of your lineup?
No, I will watch him find the end zone maybe on my bench or on the waiver wire. No, I'm not looking Gerald Everett's way.
All right, Lions at Broncos. Again, let's assume DeAndre Swift doesn't play here. Yates, I think we looked at it like after the waiver wire podcast, and I was clearly the highest on Jamal Williams last week. That did not work out. How do you feel about him in this one?
In this matchup against Denver, I'm a little bit more conservative in my rankings. So I've got him at 23 on the week. It's just one of the guys that he'll see work, he'll see volume, but not enough to really push him into that top 15 territory. So there are other guys that I like above him.
Yeah, I agree. I'm at 21, so not nearly as bullish as I was last week, especially in this matchup. TJ Hockenson still just a guy, Yates, who you start every single time out.
Yep, of course. I've got him at tight end 5 on the week.
How about the wide receivers, Yates? You know, either Josh Reynolds or Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, both have kind of been producing here going forward. Any interest in either one?
I will say that both of these guys are sits. I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown at 45, Josh Reynolds at 47. But you can look their way if you are in need at the wide receiver position. I just don't know if I really trust Jared Goff, especially after, he got it done against Minnesota, but Denver's got a tougher defense than Minnesota. So I don't want to read a ton into that. So I will go with St. Brown and Josh Reynolds at 45 and 47, respectively.
Yep, I am with you right around there. For the Broncos, Yates, look, we know that if Melvin Gordon is not active, Javonte Williams is like wonderful, like top 5, whatever you want to say. let's assume Melvin Gordon is active here. How do you see this, Yates? And I ask this specifically because I do see some people thinking like, well, we know what we have in Javonte Williams. Like, they can't give Melvin Gordon, you know, the ton of work that they were giving him before. Is that how you see it if both guys are active?
No, because here's the thing. We knew what we had with Javonte Williams this entire year. Anyone who watched his college tape knew exactly what Javonte Williams brought to the table and that he was going to be able to do what he did this past week against Kansas City. So, like, it's not surprising that he did that. And yet throughout the entire year, Denver's coaching staff has continued to be this 50-50 split with these guys. So I have Javonte Williams in that mid-range RB2 territory if Melvin Gordon does play. Obviously, yeah, you said like a top five play if Gordon sits. Right. But I have him as a mid-range RB2 because of the matchup. And then Gordon would be slightly like two or three spots lower. I do think that the slight edge will go to Javonte Williams now, but it's not going to be this like 80-20 split or anything like that.
I couldn't agree more. I think that Williams certainly has earned a larger share of the running back pie with the two of them. And so they go, Yates, from, I felt like every time you look between 23 and 26, and that's where you'll find those guys. I feel like, one, the order has switched and that Williams is ahead of Melvin Gordon for me right now. And number two, they move up because of this matchup in particular, but he is not going to run away with it with Melvin Gordon there. Wide receivers, Yates, I mean, which Broncos wide receiver would you recommend as a start this week, if any?
Jerry Jeudy is at wide receiver 29 for me in my rankings. And then I have Cortland Sutton at wide receiver 40. And yes, that is because it's Detroit. And that is the only reason why I still have Cortland Sutton with in my rankings with a number that starts with four. Otherwise, he would be lower than that.
Last night, Yates, I said I checked it, you know, when I was doing the kickoff, and he was 33 in ECR. And I was just like, I'm not even justifying. Go ahead.
Here's the crazy thing is that if I have Cortland Sutton at 40 and his ECR is 33, that means there's someone out there who has Cortland Sutton at like wide receiver 23 or something like that, you know, to offset my ranking. Like, that is crazy. Yeah, it's the matchup against Detroit. That's the only justification that I can come up with for why he is at 33 in ECR.
Yeah, makes no sense to me. And again, maybe that moves down as the weekend gets, you know, closer to lock or anything like that. But when I first saw it, I was like, yikes, I am in a different stratosphere right now. Yep. How about Fant, Yates? Any interest in Noah Fant?
This was the reason why I was concerned with Fant in the draft season was because, one, the quarterback play, and then the when every other receiving option is healthy, like there is just not enough volume to go around for Noah Fant to justify his ADP at that point. And then, of course, we saw some of these other guys get injured. Fant was a reliable option through that time frame because you didn't have Jerry Jeudy, you didn't have KJ Hamler, things like that. Now, at this point, Noah Fant is like a mid-range tight end two every week with very little upside. So I have Noah Fant at 14 because of the matchup up against Detroit. And again, otherwise, he'd be lower than that.
I'm right there with you. Giants visiting the Chargers. I don't know who's starting at quarterback.
I hate doing the Giants.
You have to, though. Okay, let's start with this. Saquon Barkley, Yates, in a matchup that, you know, running backs have done very well in. Where do you have him ranked this week?
RB 17.
Yeah.
I faded Saquon Barkley last week because I was like, I need to see it happen before I start to buy back in. And I guess what? I didn't see it. I didn't see Saquon outside of like one or two runs from him that I was like, oh, that looks like old Saquon. Otherwise, I mean, what, 6 for 19 as a receiver last week? Like, just not getting it done no matter what the opportunity is. So I want to see it happen before I start to buy back into Saquon. Again, you can start him, but we can no longer view him as this top 10 upside play.
I think it speaks, Yates, and I'm at 16, so right where you do, to what the running back rankings look like this week, which we joked about, which is like it gets dirty pretty quickly. So you're starting Saquon Barkley. I'm hopeful here that I'll have a nice game, but I really have no faith in it. If it matters to you who starts a quarterback, Glennon or Fromm, then say so. But are you starting anybody else in the Giants other than Barkley?
Nope. It's Saquon Barkley as, mid-range RB2. And then otherwise, no, because we have no idea who the heck is going to play.
Right.
You know, with the wide receivers, it looks like Sterling Shepard is trending towards playing. But it's one of the things where every single week we get the updates of like Kadarius Toney not practicing and Kenny Galladay not practicing. And like whenever those alerts come through, I'm just like, I don't care. Like,
I don't care.
Stop notifying me about these wide receivers because I literally do not care about any of them. So Sterling Shepard, fine to hold on to on the bottom of your bench, but don't play him in his first week back if he does suit up.
I will say that I still appreciate all the notifications, which comes, by the way, because my teams are synced into my playbook, and our news desk is like lightning, so it comes up with that. So I appreciate learning all the practice updates for Tony, but I realize I have way too many Giants receivers on my various leagues because I ain't starting any of them this week, no matter who suits up. For the Chargers, Yates, of course you're starting Austin Eckler, and you are starting Justin Herbert, but we've got so many wide receiver questions here where we've got Keenan Allen, which I think, Yates, the bottom line is, regardless of anything else, it doesn't seem like almost anybody has been able to have a positive test and then be back on the field by Sunday in the time that he did. So I'm personally going forward, assuming that Keenan Allen is out. But Mike Williams sounds more like a possibility. Close contact. If he doesn't test positive, I guess by Saturday, he can still go. So I guess, Yates, break it down for me however you want to do this in terms of who's going to play and who's not going to play and which Chargers wide receivers you are interested in starting this week.
Yeah, these rankings are completely just like placeholders, right? Because this is a situation. I got asked about this in the Discord stages yesterday, and I was like, I would love to be able to give you clarity and give you some like actionable advice on this. And I simply just cannot, because this is one that we have to wait to figure out what is going to happen here with this situation. I'm with you that Keenan Allen most likely not going to play here. If he plays, then of course you're playing him.
Sure.
But Mike Williams, assuming that he does suit up, he would still fall into that like borderline top 20 play for me. I don't know if the absence of Keenan Allen is going to make me completely confident in Mike Williams, so not boosting him up to like a top 12 play, especially because he's missed practice this week. So I'm not going to be like over the moon to play Mike Williams. And then Jalen Guyton, people are looking at Guyton, assuming that Mike Williams misses and Keenan Allen misses. And Guyton, I think, is going to continue to remain in his role, right? Like, he's a deep downfield threat. That's really what he has been throughout his career, out of North Texas, I think, off the top of my head. So with Guyton, like, that's his role, and he's not suddenly going to become a three-level threat. They're not going to put him into the Keenan Allen role or anything like that. I think the biggest beneficiary is Josh Palmer, the rookie wide receiver that they drafted this past year in the third round. So Palmer would be the guy that if you are in a deep league, like in a dynasty league, I've got Palmer, who's been sitting on my bench this entire year in anticipation of next year, I might be forced into playing Josh Palmer because the volume could be there for him as he moves potentially into the slot or even into Mike Williams's role. So yeah, he's someone that you can consider in deeper leagues. Guyton is a boomer bust flex play, assuming that both Williams and Allen miss. But this is a situation that I'm just going to say, like, come back on Sunday morning to our live streams over at youtube.com/fantasypros. Joe's on from 11 to 12. I'm on from noon to 1. And then Dan over on Instagram from 10 to 11, because that's going to be one where we just have to say that's when we'll have at least hopefully some more clarity on what the situation is going to look like.
Way to plug our stuff, man. I love it. And kudos to you. You're right. When this first happened, I immediately picked up Guyton where he was available. And then as I started thinking about it more and more, I started getting more intrigued by Palmer, right? So I do think that that's a name that fantasy managers should keep on their minds. I agree with you, by the way. I will say on what you said about Mike Williams, where I'm ranking it right now, Yates, as if there is no Keenan Allen, there is Mike Williams, and I have Mike Williams at 17. So this is not a guy who vaults into like top 12 status just because Keenan Allen is going to be out. 49ers at the Bengals. You're obviously assuming Joe Mixon recovers. You're starting Joe Mixon. The wide receivers, Yates, I mean, we obviously start Ja'Marr Chase, despite the fact that, you know, he has been disappointing on many levels going forward. Still a must-start option. And T. Higgins returned to practice, I believe, yesterday from the ankle injury, coming off a couple of big games. I'm at 15, Yates. What about you?
I've met 13.
Okay. So Tyler Boyd, Yates, assuming both those guys go, where do you have him ranked this week?
I have Boyd at 39, consistently just one of the guys. And I'm like, no, I'll look elsewhere. Very little upside.
And Joe Burrow, Yates, I mean, there are guys who, you know, he's always in that range with me, but he's got the pinky, you know, looked okay after, you know, eventually coming in. He's been practicing this week. What do you think?
Yeah, he didn't practice on Wednesday, returned on Thursday. Didn't necessarily get like a full practice in based on the reports that I saw. But
yeah,
I still got Burrow at 13 on the week. I think that he's going to be good to go. He might not be 100%. As a passer, but with the receiving weapons that he's got, I think he just needs to put the ball in the vicinity and they'll be able to make plays, right? That's kind of the thing. If it was lower level receiving options or stuff like that, guys who couldn't separate or make contested catches, that would be a little bit more concerning for me. But Burrow, just at this point, and especially too, like, am I going to play Cam Newton over Burrow? Am I going to play Derek Carr over Burrow? I don't know if I could do that. So I will still play Burrow.
For right now, I have Burrow at 15, but I will say when I saw him return to practice yesterday and I read the reports, there are a couple of reports I read, and he didn't do a ton, Yates, he didn't go crazy, but that the reports of his throwing were very positive, like in terms of the zip that he had and everything like that, and how he was able to place the deep ball. So I'm more encouraged right now. I have him at 15 right now, but again, I wouldn't be surprised. I think you said 13, Yates, for you.
Yes, correct.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up right there, assuming that reports go well. For the 49ers, Yates, I mean, I think at this point we have to assume that Elijah Mitchell is not going to play. If he does, of course you start him. And everything says Jeff Wilson is probably going to be the guy, but he had the knee flare up, you know? It's not a situation that I feel good about, right? I could totally see basically being like, all right, let's start Jeff Wilson. And then he gets one carry and the knee goes bad. Obviously, you also have Jamichael Hasty. So let's assume Elijah Mitchell is out. And the reports are that it's going to be Wilson again. Where would you rank him, do you think?
There is some sort of curse on the San Francisco 49ers running back position. Like, these guys cannot stay healthy. And they get injured in the weirdest freaking ways.
Yeah,
I mean, Jeff Wilson, tearing his meniscus standing up out of a chair? So Jeff Wilson, RB25 on the week, assuming that Elijah Mitchell misses this game. Someone that you would play above Chuba Hubbard, Tony Pollard if he plays, Deontay Foreman probably in that vein. So got Jeff Wilson there at 25. And then Jamichael Hasty, I mean, he'd fall right above like Darrell Williams at RB32 for me.
Yeah.
Someone that, you know, you can play in hopes that he like sees some split work with Jeff Wilson or if something happens to Wilson, but that's a complete gamble, right? Like it's a bit of a roll the dice with Jamichael Hasty. It does sound like it's going to be Jeff Wilson.
I got to say, Yates, you had a good Thursday with your rankings as I was looking and I was comparing, you know, to see where we had. And I think you're having a darn good Sunday right now because everything you're saying, like that's basically what I'm thinking about going forward. So nicely done, Yates.
Well, don't say that yet because
we'll done a great Sunday job.
And then they will just be all like completely flipped.
You've done a great job. Everything you're saying is totally accurate, and I love it. Let's go to the wide receivers, though. I'm not expecting Deebo to suit up here, Yates, you know, because he hasn't practiced yet. But if he does, of course, you're starting Deebo Samuel. So what about Ayuk with Samuel and without Samuel?
Assuming that Samuel misses this game, Ayuk would probably land just inside the top 20 for me at the wide receiver position. If Deebo does return, then I'll probably have Ayuk low end wide receiver too, like still in that range. So not a ton of movement from Ayuk.
Yeah, I agree. He's a guy who you want to start, and I think he should be fine in this one. And of course, George Kittle is amazing. Let's go to the Bills at the Bucks. I mean, it's just kind of start everybody. Like, it's obviously not a good matchup here for the Bucks, but you just set every one of these guys, Brady, Evans, Fournette, Godwin, Gronk, just right in your lineup and forget about it, right?
100%. Like, we go through and I have this spreadsheet that kind of sets, helps our video producer, Chris, who does fantastic work over on our YouTube channel.
Yes, he does.
For our graphics here that show up with like starts and sits. And we have Tampa Bay's, and I get to Tampa Bay's, and I'm like, well, this is pretty easy for me to just like fact check, you know, and just check. And every single one of them is just a start because it's, you go down the list. And why would you sit any of these guys, right, with the way that they're playing? So, absolutely, you're firing up all these guys, even in a tougher matchup.
Absolutely. For the Bills, I mean, I don't know how much there is to talk about either because you're still starting Josh Allen and you're still starting Stephon Diggs. I guess, do you want to start any, let's start with the wide receivers. Do you want to start any other wide receiver other than Diggs in this one?
Not particularly. Cole Beasley is at least intriguing because they might need him if they play from behind. Like, maybe. But I've got him at 41 on the week. Emmanuel Sanders at 43. And then the running backs, man, you run away from this situation. No. You do not go anywhere near it.
I don't want to have a running back question in my Instagram live for the Bills. Okay. I'm telling everybody who shows up there, don't ask it because I will just go and the other route.
That's all they're going
to
do.
You know that they are. They like to troll me a little bit on that Instagram live. I don't care. I'm here for it. How about Dawson Knox? Yates, he's a guy, Yates, honestly, I struggle with where to rank every single week. Last week I faded him mostly because of the wind and everything like that. But where do you have him in your tight end rankings?
I've got him at 6, and he should have had a much bigger game last week, even with the wind. Should have had a much bigger performance and just forgot how to catch a football. So yeah. Dawson Knox, tight end 6 for me. In this matchup, I feel confident starting him.
I will say that last week I will happily accept the rare results over process maxim for me, fading him in that one. I agree, Yates. I do think that this is going to be a good game, given the game script, given what they need to do. I have him at 7, so I would fire him up for sure in this one. Bears at the Packers, Yates. So Dave Montgomery is dealing with a litany of injuries. He did return to a limited practice yesterday, I believe.
By the way, what does a glute injury look like? Like, what
I don't want to know what it is, Yates.
I don't understand. Like, what What part? I don't. Okay, whatever.
You're right there?
I'm good.
How you doing?
I'm good.
I think we could go into another podcast for all of that sort of stuff. Let's assume Montgomery, though, suits up here. Yates, you're just starting him, right? Like, regardless of the fact that he's banged up with injuries, right? Like, if he goes, you just start him.
Yes. I've got him at RB13, assuming that he plays. And I do think he's going to play.
Yes, I do too. If he doesn't, though, would Khalil Herbert just slot right in there or what?
Not to that level. I would probably put him just above Saquon Barkley, which is crazy to say. But yeah, probably right in that like RB16, RB17 range.
Justin Fields is going to start at quarterback, Yates. So it also sounds like Allen Robinson's going to come back in this game. So we can talk about Allen Robinson if you want. I assume you wouldn't start him, but would you start Darnell Mooney?
I do think that we can still start Darnell Mooney with Justin Fields back at quarterback. Mooney didn't burn me last week. Andy Dalton burned me last week, throwing the ball more to Jakeem Grant for some reason. So, yeah, no, I think with Justin Fields back, Mooney's been fantastic so far this season. I'm not reading a ton into last week. I've got Mooney at 21, and that is assuming that Robinson is going to come back into the lineup. Because, again, once you get outside that range, it's like, are you really going to start Brandon Cooks over Darnell Mooney? No, I'll start Mooney.
Are you buying all the Cole Kmet targets or selling the lack of touchdowns this week?
I think Kmet is kind of like one of these guys that is a safe option, but I've got him outside the top 15, got him at 17. So safe option because of the target volume, but no upside whatsoever.
How do you see the Packers running game breaking down here with both guys fully healthy now?
You definitely can start both of these guys. Aaron Jones at RB15, AJ Dillon at RB20. So both these guys canceling each other out a little bit. If we saw one of them completely take over the backfield or be, you know, injured or anything like that, then obviously we have the clarity and we've seen it where Dylan's been great. Jones has been great. But I think that with both these guys as a 1A, 1B situation, Jones still going to get the slight edge for me at RB15. AJ Dillon, though, definitely worthy of starter consideration.
I agree on all accounts. Aaron Rodgers is a start. Devonta Adams is a start. What about Marquez Valdes-Scantling here? Yates, 19 targets last two games.
I've got him at wide receiver 36. So just in that territory of like, you know, he's starting to move into a boom or bust play. But that's still like what he's been his entire career. And there's a great potential that he busts in this one. But the opportunity is there. The target volume has been there. And I do think that with Chicago allowing a ton of deep plays, I think that we could see MVS put together a nice game. So if you're in that situation where you need to be able to kind of make up for some lost ground, maybe you played the wrong guys. Maybe you played Tyler Conklin or whatever on Thursday night. You need to be able to make up for that. Then I think MVS is a fine dart throw play.
Rams at the Cardinals. Of course, you're starting Kyler Murray. Of course, you're starting DeAndre Hopkins. Let's talk about the running backs here. If Chase Edmonds returns, which, again, I don't know if we know for sure yet. He's obviously been, you know, he's got the 21-day practice window. Mm-hmm. But let's assume he does return, Yates. What does that do for you for your Connor ranking?
It moves him down a little bit, probably right in front of Saquon Barkley at RB17. Well, I've got him at 12 currently. So I think that he would move down a few spots just because we've seen where Connor and Edmonds are in the lineup. Connor's more touchdown dependent, but he still is, you know, consistently getting the job done. So still someone that you definitely can start. Chase Edmonds in his first game back, assuming that he suits up. I'll probably put him right in that same territory of Jamal Williams, Kareem Hunt, you know, right in that range. Jeff Wilson of 23, 24, 25, where these guys that I feel, you know, that Edmonds isn't going to find the end zone most likely, but he should step back into his receiving down work.
Christian Kirk, start or sit?
I will start Christian Kirk. I do think that the volume will be back this week. Again, we're not going to see Kyler Murray throw the ball 15 times in this one. So got him at 34 on the week currently, Christian Kirk. I do think that he is the other guy outside of DeAndre Hopkins that I want to roll with.
Yes. So no interest in Rondale Moore or AJ Green.
That is correct.
How about Zach Ertz?
Ertz at tight end 11 for me, and it's really just based on the tight end position. So I think Ertz can continue to see, you know, some volume here in this offense, but scoring upside probably not going to be there.
Okay, let's talk about the Rams. Of course, you're starting Cooper Kupp. How about both receivers here, Yates, Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham Jr.? I basically throw my hands up with both these guys, Yates, a little bit. And I just basically like, you are both wide receiver threes for me. And probably one of you is going to outperform where I have you ranked and one of you is going to underperform. And I'm not sure which one. So we'll just have to see.
Yes, the past 3 weeks I have had like Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham Jr. like back to back in my rankings, right? Like these guys that, okay, like one of you is going to have a good game, just like you
That's
said.
That's how I have them ranked now. Yeah, it's I have them back to back in my rankings.
I have them a little bit separated. I have Van Jefferson at 23, OBJ at 27 on the week. Both these guys definitely start worthy consideration. I think that we could see this game turn into a shootout. It's going to be a ton of fun to watch. So I will go with Jefferson, though, over OBJ just based on target volume.
But start them both, right? Based on your rankings. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Matthew Stafford is just, I mean, he's banged up. Yeah. It's like this is actually banged up. You know, but he's going to play, of course, because he's a gamer. And in a shootout, you're starting him, right?
Yes. I've got him at QB 10.
How do you see the backfield breaking down after last week where Henderson was active, but just as an emergency and didn't play a snap?
Assuming that, and Henderson did return to practice yesterday in a limited fashion. So assuming that we get positive reports as we move throughout the rest of the week, it's going to be Henderson's backfield. You know, people wanted to talk about, you know, Gardner Minshew and Jalen Hurts. Is there a quarterback controversy in Philadelphia? It's like, okay, let's like pump the brakes because it was Gardner Minshew playing against the New York Jets. Right. And last week, you know, people are still wanting to do this. Like, is there a new RB1 in LA? Like, no, guys, it was Sony Michel going up against Jacksonville. So let's not make something there that really isn't there. I think Michel could see an uptick in work, but Henderson, I think, is going to be the main guy, assuming that he's fully healthy. So assuming that Henderson is back, I've got him at 14 on the week and I have Michel at 31. That gap could close as we, you know, get if Henderson is still limited in practice on Friday, and I think they'll practice Saturday because of the Monday game or whatever.
Right.
But then, you know, then we'll adjust. But for right now, it's Henderson's backfield still.
And if Henderson were inactive, would Michel be a top 12 play?
I don't know if he would move into the top 12, but he would be pretty close.
Okay. And last one, tight end Yates, Tyler Higbee.
You got back involved in the offense last week. Yeah. I've got him at 12. So one of these guys that we were like completely, all right, we're done with Higbee. And then I was like, well, hold on. Let's keep him at least in the conversation because he's going up against Jacksonville. He bounced back with the target volume. Someone that, I mean, are you going to play Tyler Higbee or are you going to play Noah Fant? For me, I'll take the shot with Higbee.
That's exactly right. I have Higbee at 12. I have Fant at 14. So that's sort of where I'm at right now. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you to Fan Team. Win huge cash prizes daily by signing up over at fanteam.co/fantasypros with a capital F and a capital P, just like our actual name, Fantasy Pros. Thanks also to Pristine Auction, thousands of auctions every single day. PristineAuction.com, PRISTINE, auction.com. Finally, thank you to Kraken. Find out for yourself why Kraken has been one of the highest rated places to buy crypto for the last 10 years. Visit kraken.com/fantasypros now to learn more or search for Kraken in the App Store. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend of football. I hope all your start to sit decisions are correct. And I'll talk to you again on Sunday night with Pat Fitzmaurice.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.